elephant out of the room. Yes, I'm trying to grow a beard. Okay, so everybody, I know you're all looking at it. I can just tell. You can't even look at me in the eyes when you're talking to me. It's like stuck on that right there, like, you know. So let's just get it out there. Yes, I'm trying to grow a beard. Okay. There we go. Yeah, there we go. All right. Hannah's not in favorite. She's not in here, is she? I can say this. She's not in favorite, but that's okay. We're going to give it a little bit of time. Okay. So today, I wanted to take you to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 2. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 2. When we were at the men's conference last weekend, not just a few days ago, but the week before, somebody asked a question when we were doing kind of like our little breakout sessions, I guess, if you will. And they asked the question, what are you going to take away from the conference this? What are you going to take away from the conference this year? And I kind of thought about it, and all the content was really good. All the content was good. Brother Ken Gilming talked about work and your attitude towards work, your attitudes maybe towards working with difficult people, and all that kind of stuff. And it was really good, always good content. And the guy who was facilitating the breakout session, he looked at me and he said, "What about you? What are you going to take away?" And I said to him, these conferences for me are always a good time to just kind of refocus. Just refocus what I have been focusing on and bringing my focus back to what's most important, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I've been really thinking about that. God has really been laying that on my heart. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The title of the message is, Where is Your Focus? Where is your focus? And before we do anything else, I'm going to have all the teens come right up here on the front row. All the teenagers come right up here on the front row. Come on, give them a good round of applause. Let them feel. Come on, you guys. Come up here on the front row. Right up here, right up there on the front row. They hate it when I do this. I don't know why they don't just preemptively do it, so that way I don't have to embarrass them and pull them out. You see, they're all scary. I'm used to talking to you guys. They're scary. So if you're up here, it's easier for me to feel like we're in youth group. And so I almost have a game to play. No, not really. We won't play a game this morning. But we're going to talk about the title, Where is Your Focus? Let's ask God's blessing on the message this morning, and we'll get into the lesson for today. Ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for the time that we can have in your house. We can have a good time. We can sing our praises to you. We can worship you freely. We don't have to be afraid of anyone coming in and disrupting it or telling us that we can't. But Lord, we can do this freely, and we love you today. Pray, Lord, that you'd be with the message this morning. I pray that you'd guide me and my thoughts and the words that I say, Lord, that it would be used of the Holy Spirit. Please work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. I wrote down a few things on where our focus can be at, but let's begin with reading Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 4, and we're going to read down through verse number 11. It says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. And made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem, and also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Where is your focus this morning? I wrote down a few things. When I think about this idea of refocusing and focusing on the Lord and on your relationship with the Lord, I really thought about there's so many things today that are just grabbing for your attention, just grabbing for your focus every day. first thing that came to my mind was work. How many of you in the morning, you've woken up and you have this and this and this and this to do today? And you can't even look over at your wife who's still sleeping, but she's beautiful when she's sleeping, right? You can't look over at her and say, good morning, honey, and lay a kiss on her. All you got to, because you're just up and you're out and you're thinking, I got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And that's what we're focused on. It's kind of, sometimes it comes to the point where you're so focused on your work that nothing else really matters except for that. I got to get this done today. And there's no doubt there is demands within the job, within the work area. You've got a boss that you've got to please. You've got demands that need to be met. You've got deadlines, and you've got things that need to be done, and they're very important. But sometimes it can come to the point where that's all that we're focusing on. When I was in the welding shop, I welded for a few years when I was in college, and then for a year before I went to college. And I had this guy who was training me, and he was in Indiana. We had a number of Mexicans that welded, and they were good welders, but I couldn't understand them. And so he was trying to train me how to weld, and he would just try to do just like, you know, figures to try to teach me how to do this. He'd be like, like that, and I'd say, okay. And then he'd show me, like, you watch. I'll do this. You watch. Oh, okay. So he'd show me, and he would whistle while he's doing it, too. Of course, you couldn't hear him because the weld is so loud. And then he would say, your turn. So, okay, I'd try to do it, and I'd mess up. And, you know, he never spoke. He just, no, you know. And then after a while, after talking with him for a while, because he worked with me for a few days until I really got the hang of it, and then I started welding, and then actually I could understand him after a while. You know, when you talk to someone who has a really thick accent, after a while you can understand what they're saying. And so we got to learn, his name was Renee. And Renee was, he was a great welder, and he taught me how to do this. But when I started welding, then there was all these demands. Well, you got to get this amount of parts done. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I can remember in college, I was welding at this one particular shop, and we were welding, welding toes for like trucks and large vans that would attach to the back of people's trucks and vans and things like that. And I was so tired this day because I had stayed up too late talking to my fiance on the phone. And then I was an hour drive away from work, so I'd stayed up too late talking to her on the phone, and then I had like 2 cups of coffee on the way there. And then during the day, just to keep me going, I would drink like 8 cans of soda. It was really bad. My heart started doing weird things after a while. It was like fluttering randomly for no reason. But I remember my boss came to me and he was like, Kaufman. And I'm sitting there with my hood on, trying to weld, you know. Kaufman, yes, sir. What is going on? You're so far behind. Oh, I know, sir. I'm just so tired. What's he going to say? Too bad. I don't care if you're tired or not. You've got to get this done. So the reality is, in your work, you really do have demands that need to be met. You have things that have to get done. You have deadlines that need to be met. And it can become only what you focus on. And we have to be careful of that. Next thing that I wrote down was maybe even our physical appearance. And this may not apply to you. Maybe to some it does apply to you. But sometimes we get very focused on what we look like, whether it's the way we dress or whether it's just our own physical appearance. I can remember in college, I would work out with this guy named Aaron Hilliard. Aaron Hilliard was only 5'4", and he was a national champion for wrestling in his division and in his high school. When he was in seventh grade, he wrestled seniors in high school and was winning. He was that good. He was just this really good wrestler, but he was only 5'4", really short, but we called him the human cobra because his back was just like this V, you know, just like, right? And he said, Kaufman, let's go work out. And I'm like, yeah, because I look like I work out, right? And he says, yeah, let's go work out. So we're doing all this, and you know, he's like, I can see you're getting bigger, you're getting bigger. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't know what mirror you're looking at, but it's maybe one of those distorted ones that kind of shapes it and stuff. But we were sitting in Bible class together, and I could see him over across from me, and he was sitting there like this, just going, you know, that leg is just shaking. He's not even focused. He took a pencil, and he's sitting there going. And I just watch him go, I can't even do it. Oh, here we go. And he just broke it right in half. And then after school, I was like, what is the matter with you? He's like, I got to go work out. It's all I can think about. I just got to go work out. Well, his focus was wrong. right? We were in Bible class, in Greek class nonetheless, which if you're in Greek class, you'd better pay attention or you're going to fail, right? You just better pay attention. This morning in Bible hour class, we taught the teens some Hebrew words for the words friend. Tell me one of them. Oh, good, raha, which means what? Evil, it means evil. Good job. Raha means evil. And so we were in, and he was just focused on his physical appearance. Now, no doubt, he was a strong guy. He was my coach for a little bit. He got me to wrestle one match, and I was like, I'm not a wrestler. Oh, I think you can do it. I'll teach you. I think you can do it. I think I was on the wrestling mat for that match for like maybe 30 seconds, and it felt like 500 minutes. It felt like forever. And I'm wrestling this guy, and I'm so winded and tired. I'm so done. I'm just ready to get. So I just roll over, and I just let the guy pin me. And the whole time, I can hear Aaron Hilliard in the back yelling. I can't hear what he's saying, though, because all I can think about is, I am so tired. And I let him beat me and pin me, and I got up. He goes, Kaufman, what were you doing? You were winning. You were 1 point away from winning the match. Sorry. His focus was all about, now he doesn't stay like that. Actually, right now, he is actually an evangelist for college campuses. He goes on to college campuses and he tries to win those college students to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he does as a full-time job. But at that point, his focus was on his physical appearance. Now, let's kind of shift it to the younger generation. Oftentimes, when you're going to school, when you're going to class, things like that, you know, you feel the pressure. I got to look a certain way. I got to act a certain way. I've got to talk a certain way. I have to have certain things. I got to have that newest phone, right? I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And it can get to the point where that's all we're thinking about, just so focused on that. So sometimes we're focused on physical appearance. We can focus on our job and its demands. We can focus on our physical appearance. For those of you who are in school, there's maybe the other side where it's not the physical side of school, but it's the demands of the school, the projects that got to get done. I've got to maintain that 4.0 GPA average, which I didn't even know that was a thing. I really thought, I thought I was doing good at 1.3. Woohoo! You know? I got my grades back on a semester for just one semester, and I had easy classes that year, and I thought, oh, this is going to be good. My GPA came in, 3.4. I was like, cha-ching, I did good. And someone said, you know, that's only one semester. Oh, man, really? I'm not kidding. 1.4 was like my overall GPA. Anyways, why am I telling you this? I don't know. You're going to not listen to anything I have to say now. But we can get so focused on the projects, the papers, the teachers, the clubs, the expectations to fit in. Well, I need to fit in. I need to feel like I fit in. That's a big one. Sometimes we can get focused on even just our own personal honey-do list. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know at your house, you got this project that's got to get done. You got to do this. Your wife wants you to do this and wants you to do this. And you get so focused on pleasing yourself that, well, today I don't want to do any of those. I just want to do what I want to do, right? We can get focused. And I want to bring your attention back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and he said, verse 10, whatsoever mine eye desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And then the end of the verse 11, he said, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And for those that have children and you have the schedules of your children, you can get so focused on the schedule that your kids have. You've got to go here, you've got to do this, and you forget even mealtimes with family. You're so busy. It's, I got to do this. I've got to take Johnny here. I've got to take Susie there. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I got to be part of this because I need to fit in as a normal parent. As a normal parent, I need to fit in. And our focus can become only on that. Now, I would be misguided and misguiding you if I weren't to bring up even social media. Oh, can I just sit here for just a second? We need to feel like we got to fit in on social media. Anybody ever felt the pressure? I have to be current on social media. It means, oh, I haven't posted anything for about 5 hours. What am I doing? Okay, snap a picture of here and then post it on social media because I got to feel like I'm staying current. Oh, I'm so tired of all the Facebook stuff and everything that I'm just about ready to get rid of all the stuff that I do and things like that, you know, just get rid of it. But there is the pressure that you've got to fit in even on the social media world. You, for example, you take 100 pictures of one scenario that you're doing, 100 pictures of just one scenario, and you flip through 100 pictures only to choose what? One. But why? It's the best one, right? Why do we do that? Why do we feel like we have to post the best picture of the scenario that we're doing? Why do we have to do that? What's that? Vain. Ooh, because we're vain. And we want to feel like if we post something online and people see, they're going to think, wow, they've got it all together, right? They've got it all together. I know. Then there's the other side. Then there's those people who are posting everything that's going wrong and they're complaining and stuff like that. But there is that part that feels like we have to fit in. We have to be current, and our focus can become on that. In fact, sometimes for the younger generation, the very first thing they do in the morning is they look over, they grab their phone, and they check what? Social media. They check their Facebook status. They check their Instagram posts. They check their Snapchat. Why? Because they don't want to what? They don't want to miss something. So it's a focus. You wake up and your focus is on that through the day. Let's see. This is good lighting for my hair right here. Let me take a picture and post it, right? You know? Our focus can become on that. And then the last thing that I thought of was relationships. We get so focused on that significant other, right? You know what I'm talking about. When you just know, okay, I've got to look this certain way so I can see that significant other today when she walks down the hall or when he comes to the lunch table or when they come and work in the booth next to me or whatever. And all of a sudden, I've got to look a certain way and our focus can become on that significant other. Remember, I told you that I stayed up too late doing what before I went to work the next day? What was I doing? I was talking to my fiance on the phone way too late at night because my focus was where? On her. Now, that's not a bad thing, right? I mean, she wants me to be focused on her, right? And really, the truth of the matter is, none of those things that we just talked about are bad. You have to go to work. And you really should try to be an excellent worker. And you should try to do the best job that you can do. You really do need to go to school. Teenagers, you really do need to go to school. I'm sorry. You know, you have to go to school. You need to do a good job when you're at school. You need to learn. You need to apply yourself. I can so remember going to my English literature class in college, and I thought I did such a good job on my English literature research paper. I really did. I mean, I put the time into it. I was really trying to do good, and I submitted it, and then I got it back with a huge red F all over it. I flunked my English literature research paper. And at the top, the teacher wrote these words, "John, what happened?" I was like, I don't know what happened. And I went to my teacher and I said, I actually really tried to do a good job on this. And he says, "I don't know what content you were talking about, but that was not what we were supposed to be writing about." And I thought, okay, so I need to have some help. Hannah! So Hannah had to help me. But the truth of the matter is you have papers, projects, and things that you've got to get done at your school, and you really should strive to do a good job. With your family, you do have schedules and things that you've got to do. If your kids are going to be part of something, you really want them to be a part of it and to do a good job. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with pleasing yourself to do what you want to do, your lists and things that got to get done. And there's nothing wrong with social media. There's nothing wrong with social media. When does it become a problem? When it's our focus. When it's our focus. Look back with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 10 and 11. Again, he says, "Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. Now flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." When you look at that first part, and he says, "Let us hear." Let us hear. The Hebrew word for the word "hear" has this idea of to listen up intelligently. To listen up intelligently. So those of you who have been in the classroom, or those of you who have been teachers in a classroom, or those of you who have gone to a classroom, when I went to go to the welding shop, I had to go through 8 hours of training, video training. They had to teach you how to operate machine correctly and things like that. And sure, I sat there and listened, right? Did I listen intelligently? Probably not, as Kathy said, probably not. And you can tell the students who are listening intelligently to want to learn, and those who are just listening because they just have to be there. The face says it all. Right? They don't even blink for 5 minutes. You're like, wow, are your eyes not drying out? My contacts would dry all up and like crust in my eyeball and stuff like that. But then the ones who are listening are intelligent, are listening, and they're taking down notes, and they're really trying to learn. And Solomon writes and he says, "Let us hear." So listen up with intelligence. Listen up to what I'm about to say because this is very important. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." So the culmination of everything that he had just talked about, chapters 1 through 11 and the first part of 12, he says, "Listen up to what I'm going to tell you because there is one main point that I'm going to tell you. Listen up to the conclusion of the whole matter." He says, "Fear God and keep his commandments." Fear God and keep his commandments. I told the teens a number of weeks ago, maybe it was even a couple of months ago, that there is a proper view of God when we talk about fearing God. There's a proper view of God, and I would try to illustrate it like this. Think of God as a good king, correct? When you have a view of a good king, you have a couple of different ideas in your head about a good king. Number one, he's good because he can do anything. He has the power, right? A good king has the power, can do everything and anything that he wants to. And then a good king also is going to bring judgment and repercussion to what needs to be judged. So you have a proper fear of that. When you enter into the presence of the king, who is king over your country or whatever, and he's a good king, you don't just walk into him and be like, "Hey, dude, what's up, man?" No, because you have a proper view of him, right? When you enter into the king's throne room and you stand before a good king, you're going to be tall, straight. You're going to be very cordial. You're going to say, "Hello, sir, how are you?" Knowing that he loves you and knowing that he cares about you. Sometimes we don't have a good view of the Lord Jesus Christ. We kind of think he's just our caretaker and he's going to just, if I need this, I pray to him for this and he gives this and he gives that. But sometimes that's not what's good for us. And so when he says, "Fear God and keep his commandments." If the king tells you, "Don't go in my vineyard because that's someone else's job," you're going to disobey that? No. Why? Because there are consequences, right? So he says, "Listen up, hear the conclusion, the culmination of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments." You see, though, the difference between God and a good king is that God desires to have a relationship with you. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 says, "And they," Adam and Eve, "heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Just pause there for just a second. I was reading this the other day, and it said, the Lord God, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. I wonder, what was it that they heard Jesus saying? What was it that they heard God saying? Later, we see that he cried out, and he said, Adam, where are you? Look back at it with me. Verse number 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? But before, what was he doing? How did they hear his voice? I like to think that maybe God was walking through the garden. Maybe he's just singing, right? Just singing to the trees, just singing to the birds, just maybe just talking maybe to his father. He's just, this voice is in the garden. And Adam and Eve hear the garden, hear the voice of God, and they run away. My kids love to sing songs in the car. We have a couple of CDs that they love to listen to in the car. And when we're driving, they're singing their songs, and Jesse just singing away back there. And he can't even say the words right, but he's just singing away back there. You know, there's the one about London bridges falling down, my fair lady. And he loves listening to that one. And he's singing it proud and loud, and he's singing, you know, London bridges. And then my fair lady is like my bear baby or something like that. But he's just singing it as loud as he can. He doesn't care. He likes to sing. And then and Tessa, she likes to sing, but she likes to be on key. She's singing in that on the right pitch. And I'm thinking, man, she's got a pretty good voice. Maybe someday she'll be a singer. Maybe both my kids will be singers. I don't know. But I wonder, well, what was God doing when they heard his voice in the garden? Was he singing? Was he just talking? But then he says, after he can't find Adam, Adam, where art thou? Now we know the rest of the story. But why did God come down to talk with them? Why? For fellowship, for relationship, to have a relationship with his creation. You see, sometimes the king could care less about who's serving him, but God wants to have a relationship with you. One more verse. We looked at the very beginning of the Bible. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You see, Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. So he's coming to you, knocking on your heart's door, saying, open the door to me. Let me come in and have a relationship with you. Let's eat food together. Let's have fellowship. Open the door. Let me come in. He desires to have that relationship with you. And then go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. It said, God should bring every work into judgment, whether it be secret, whether it be good, or whether it be evil. Has your work lifestyle been in balance? Has your focus been in balance? Today, when you think about those things that we talked about, can you find yourself being focused on that one thing, and you're like, no, my focus has been there? Because listen, we do it. For example, when I was taking piano lessons from this lady from Finland, her name was Päivi Ekroth. She was this little blonde, white-haired girl, blonde girl. Anyways, and she would teach me piano lessons, and she had these really tiny hands, but she was fantastic. She could go up and down those keys like crazy, and she taught me all kinds of amazing things, and she would give me like 8 books to work on. So I'd have 8 different kinds of different types of music that I had to work on, and I needed to practice all of them. But there would always be that one song that I liked more than the other ones, right? You know what I'm talking about. There's that one thing you like more than the others. So I would practice my entire hour just on that one song, and I was really good at it, right? And I thought, whew, I'm going to go back to my piano lessons. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to play this one song for her. I'm going to knock her socks off, and she's going to be like, good job. You don't need anything else. What did she say to me? Nope. What about the other 7? What about them? I asked you to practice these other 7 things. I know. But I perfected this one thing. That's not what I asked you to do, right? Let's see, my focus was wrong. My focus was all on that one thing. I was good. I was good at it, right? It was like, man, I could play with my eyes closed. You know, I used to memorize everything that I played. There was even times where I'd be going playing baseball, and we'd be out on the field in the middle of a game, and I'd be sitting there with my hands on my knees. So you can see, maybe I should climb up here too. No. And then all of a sudden, I could do the piano. I could do every single thing that I was supposed to play on my legs. I knew all the positions and everything like that. I had it memorized. Oh, I'm so good at it. But that wasn't what she asked me to do. And so my focus wasn't where it should have been. But I was so good at that one thing. But I'm such a good worker. I'm really doing such a good job. I love my job. I'm doing such a good job. But that's not what God asked you to do. Now, don't get me wrong. He wants you to be a good worker, but that's not where the focus is. Well, I got to focus on the way that I look, on my appearance. Well, yes, you should. You know, you really should, you know, come nicely dressed, and you really should, you know. Yeah, I was waiting for someone to say it. But where's the focus? Where is the focus? Is it on the wrong thing? It's easy to happen. It's easy to take our focus off of God and put it onto other things. And you say this, if I could just be a better employee, if I could just do this, if I could be a better husband, if I could be a better father, if I could be a better this, a better that, then everything would just fall into place. But what if we just said this instead? I need to work on my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when we do that, it brings the focus into where it should be, right? Not too long ago, I went to the doctors, to the eye doctors, and I've always had the same prescription in each eye, and I wear contacts and glasses and things like that. And then the other day, I went in there, and she says, oh, well, you have an astigmatism. And I thought, oh, well, what does that mean? Well, your eye is shaped funny. So we have to get a contact that's going to fit the shape of your eye, so it'll bring it into focus. Well, I didn't know it was out of focus. Why? I was used to it. I'd been doing it that way for such a long time. But then when I got that contact and I popped it in, oh man, it was like, whoa, everything was amazing. It was perfect. It was perfectly in focus. And I was like, wow, it was a little bit hard to get adjusted to. But the truth of the matter is, when our focus isn't on God and we try to refocus back to God, sometimes it's a little difficult. We're so used to doing it one way. We got to say, listen, that can be put off to the side. I've got to bring my focus where it needs to be. I've got to sit down and read my Bible and bring focus to where it should be. And it's so easy for us to be like, yeah, but I've got to get this and I've got to get that and I've got to get that. Well, yeah, I get that. But remember, Jesus Christ, God just said in the book of Ecclesiastes that he would bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil, even every secret thing. And what's he going to judge? How's he going to judge it? What's he going to say? Boy, I'm so glad you were such a good worker and that you focused on nothing else but your job. No, no. Let us hear the conclusion. Listen intelligently, teenagers. Listen intelligently. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So when that gentleman asked me, he said, what are you going to take away from this? And I thought, you know what? I need to refocus what I've been doing. What is most important to me? All these things are good, and all of these things are important. But what is the most important thing? My relationship with my God. If I make much of God, he'll make much of me. If I make much of God, he'll make much of me. I'd like for you to close your eyes and bow your heads, please. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if this resonated with you this morning. I know that this is something that God has been working on my heart lately. It's been working on me and all the things that I have been doing that I make important in my life. And I come to this point where I say, you know what? I need to just refocus. The most important thing is my relationship with my wife, with my God. Yes, the relationship with my wife is important. Yes, the relationship with my job is important. Yes, the relationship with my kids are important. All those things are important. And what am I making the most important thing in my life today? It needs to be my relationship with Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning and we come to the invitation time, if you've spoken to us, Lord, I pray that we would take this time to come pray and refocus. Where is our focus? Let's get our focus back on God. Just like when we put those glasses on or we put that contact in, and all of a sudden everything comes into the picture clearly like it should be, help us to use that and say, God, I need to put my focus back on you. Please be with us, Lord, during this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all